All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
The very, very sad theme of... The Kung Fu TV series from the 60s.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're playing that because of the disturbing news that apparently black ninjas have killed David Carradine.
That's what I hear.
I read that somewhere.
They strung him up by his nether regions.
Yes, well.
The closet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the photos?
I did not see any photos. Photos?
A newspaper in Bangkok published a photo.
Wow.
Him hanging in the closet.
That is crazy.
It was kind of blurry, but definitely creepy.
Wow. Well, actually, I guess if we're able to actually find that photo, you're probably looking at it right now on your iPod or if you're watching on QuickTime. Otherwise, you can go over to our site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Check out the image gallery for episode 151.
Right.
Black ninjas did it.
They did indeed.
I didn't even know there were any black people over there.
Well, apparently.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. So black we've been ninjas. Gone
yes.
a little bit.
Yes.
We're making a triumphant return.
Although.
All right. Although.
It didn't really quite work out the way that we wanted.
No. And I got a couple of emails this past week. So does this mean we have another 2 weeks for another episode? No. There'll be an episode next week. I promise you.
Yeah. About that. No, I'm just kidding.
A couple of times a year, we're entitled to take a vacation. We don't do it often.
I know.
We've missed 6 episodes in 3 years.
We've done some without each other, too, though.
Yeah,
like you and what's his name, our former producer.
Yeah.
He used to, you guys did a couple without me. Didn't I do one? I did one with somebody.
Yeah, that's the mysterious lost episode that doesn't actually exist.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
That was
That's
the episode
right.
of my honeymoon episode.
Yes. Lost
was
to the ages.
19 or something like that.
Ooh, yes. The mystery of
it was
whatever
you,
episode that
producer
that was.
Guy and Retailer X, wasn't that who that
was? That might be who that was.
And a phone in by me, but it's all gone.
Don't know what happened there.
That's why I had an exciting vacation while I was away.
You did?
I broke down in my car.
Uh-huh.
Which was good. But thanks to, I think it was Sirici's Auto Body. They did a fantastic job.
Are you supposed to plug that here in order to...
No, they have no idea that we have a show. But if you're ever broken down in Waterford, Connecticut, that's where you should go. They did an awesome job.
Waterford?
Yeah.
I've actually been through Waterford.
It's
Waterford
it's
or Waterbury?
No, I think it's Waterford.
They got a lot,
79 off of 95.
They got a lot of berries up there. Waterbury and...
I think.
Superberry and blueberry.
And then I went to dinner at the Steak Loft.
Uh-huh.
And there was a chemical spill, and my $80 dinner was free. That was pretty exciting.
Wow.
So that was...
Did they spill the chemicals on your dinner?
No. It was in the kitchen, apparently. It was right after we had finished eating. We were getting...
Uh-huh.
The waitress was on her way to bring us the bill, and the manager comes out of the back room, and he's like, everybody get out. There's a chemical spill in the back. We need everybody to evacuate immediately. Must have been some sort of cleaning product would be my...
And
guess.
Out you went.
And out I went. I made sure the waitress got a tip, because I'm good like that,
uh-huh.
and I left.
Dang, I'd have started just, like, pocketing some
along
shit.
Along with everybody. The entire place just fled out. It was
That's a bad night for that restaurant.
It was a bad night for that restaurant.
We should probably do a show.
We could do a show. I just want to say, and I
did... Is there someone else you have to plug?
No, I just...
Somebody's Auto Body and somebody's
Look, if someone buys
restaurant.
Me a beer, I have to mention them on the show. That's the rule.
God, if that were the case, we'd be here all night.
So, thanks to Tom for taking me and the missus out for a beer.
Isn't that nice? Who the fuck is Tom?
He's a listener of the show. You can follow him on Twitter, MadSatCom on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And
nice.
He's been listening to the show for a really long time. Yeah, he's an old listener.
Where's my fucking beer, fan? Where's my fucking beer?
He was going to come down to our live show.
Oh, yeah?
He was going to come down from Connecticut for that show.
Another great mystery.
And that died also.
Whatever happened to the live show?
Right.
Yeah, we'll do it eventually.
One day.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can do the episode.
200th episode's coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
A year?
Something like that. That gives us enough time to set it up.
I think if we start now and solicit production, Tim, we might have that by episode 200.
We may very well have that by episode 200.
Let's roll, because we have a lot.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke. We got to start off with that. It was picture of the week.
It was, okay. I'm really upset.
Okay, so Mickey Rourke, the picture that we're talking about, which you're probably looking at right now, is the picture of Mickey Rourke as Whiplash in Iron Man 2.
Uh-huh.
Whiplash, who apparently is some sort of amalgam of the character Whiplash and Crimson Dynamo. We're still hearing that something to do with Crimson Dynamo was worked into that character's backstory, but we don't know yet.
Okay.
What the fuck is the thing on his chest?
Okay.
You got Tony Stark?
Yeah,
a heart problem?
I've read that, and apparently it's the power source that he's using to charge up the whips.
Or the tendrils or whatever they are?
The whips. They're whips.
Yeah.
And he's using, and it's kind of, apparently this is part of the story, is that he's kind of replicating in some fashion the power source that Tony Stark is using, that whole glowy chesty thing.
Okay, so he's somehow going to be tied into the bad guy from the first one, probably. That's how we got the power source or something. Right?
Well, nobody knows that for sure.
Ironmonger?
Ironmonger. No one knows for sure, but I mean, I guess that's possible, yeah.
And I also heard rumor that he's going to star opposite of Sylvester Stallone in Rambo 5. That's another internet rumor that's circulating out around there right now.
Oh, jeez.
So Mickey Rourke making a comeback.
Yeah.
Fierce.
Yeah, because Rambo 5 will be huge.
No.
Hey, look, with all due respect, the last Rocky was really good. So
I liked the last Rocky.
Rocky Balboa was a good flick.
I liked the last Rocky.
And he should have that success for Rambo, whatever number it is, 4?
Right.
5, whatever it is.
Were you a fan of heavy metal?
The movie?
Yes.
The original one. Yeah,
okay.
Big time.
Good, right? And then there was that... That
very lame.
That was the work of Kevin Eastman.
Yes, and his
he
wife.
Acquired of Max, Julie Strain. Yes.
Yes.
They're working on another one.
Yes, I did hear some rumor about this.
Did you hear the directors that Kevin Eastman is claiming are apparently going to be working on this one?
No.
James Cameron, Zack Snyder, and Gore Verbinski are the three that he's named so far.
Okay.
And then apparently Jack Black is going to contribute some sort of segment also.
Well, Zack Snyder's an Uber fanboy, so I can't imagine. I mean, rather, I can imagine that one. Gore Verbinski's kind of a weirdo, so I can figure that one as well. And Cameron, I thought, was up to his ass in this Avatar bullshit.
Well, look, I mean, this is the first news we're really hearing about this, and Avatar is, I think, into production at this point. So, if that's the case, this could be the next thing that he works on after Avatar,
right?
So, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I like Zack Snyder.
look, if it's better than the second one, fine. They'll never touch the original. The original is an absolute classic, so perfect for its day.
Absolutely.
That I just don't imagine it'll ever be touched.
It's like Wizards, heavy metal, and something
Wizards.
You don't like Wizards?
Not so
that was
much.
Rankin Bass, wasn't it? That was not Rankin Bass. Bakshi. That was Ralph Bakshi, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I think Rankin Bass might have produced that.
They might have produced that one.
Yeah, man, not so much.
No, all right.
Talking about great animated films of the late 70s.
Of the late 70s, yeah.
Watership Down.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Yeah, I know. But you're a weirdo who doesn't appreciate the higher callings. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Rabbit fight. Tearing each other's throats out of there. That's some good shit. I'm just saying.
You were a fan of Taken? You like
the miniseries?
No.
Oh.
That movie.
Yes. Liam Neeson. I was a fan of that movie. Yes, it was good. And I happen to absolutely love the Steven Spielberg miniseries that was on the Sci-Fi Channel years ago. If you have the chance to buy that on DVD, you should. It's breathtakingly good.
Well, sticking with the movie that starred Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Apparently, he right now is the front runner to play Hannibal in the A-Team movie.
Not going to happen.
The movie or him as Hannibal?
Both.
Well, I think the movie's a possibility.
No way.
I don't know about him as Hannibal.
Him as anything. Him as anything but the bad guy in an A-Team movie is just not a good idea.
Okay. We have a potential face also.
Oh, yeah?
Bradley Cooper.
Who's that?
He was in The Hangover. He was in...
I didn't see that yet, but I heard it's brilliant.
He was... Aiden Stone on Nip Tuck. He was a recurring character on Nip Tuck.
That's
he was in
familiar.
The Rocker. He was in... Oh, do you remember Kitchen Confidential? That short-run miniseries that starred Xander from Buffy?
Oh, that douchebag?
He was the lead on Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Xander from Buffy. What's that guy's name?
Nicholas Brendan.
He is a dick.
He's a dick in person.
Yeah.
He's a complete ass.
Complete asshole.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
He's another one of those, I don't want to acknowledge my Buffy roots guy. Fuck you.
He has Adam West in the 70s syndrome.
No one would know you for anything other than that role.
Well,
Embrace it. He was Tim Curry in Rocky Horror.
What's he done since? Exactly.
Exactly. A whole lot of nothing.
Can't even get on a Joss Whedon show, you loser.
And that's bad. That's pretty rough.
I'm just saying.
Bradley Cooper also right now is one of the lead rumored guys for Green Lantern, we should say also.
Eh, another movie that I can't wait to see how they screw up.
You're a Lantern fan, though.
Well, actually... Everybody keeps asking me, so this is where I stand. You know, Green Lantern is one of those books that it's been going on for so long, and it has such a great, rich, diverse history with all the different core members, and now they have this cool thing going on called Blackest Night, where all these different colored lanterns are happening. Everybody always talks about the Green Lantern. My really good friend, Off-White, who's a sketch collector like me, has books and books of Green Lantern sketches. It always seemed like a book that I should sit down and start to read, and I just never have. And literally, for like 25 years, I've been saying I should be reading Green Lantern. I could be up to my neck in Green Lantern comic books and knowledge and everything else, except I've just never taken the time to sit down and actually start reading the stuff. And now I think, with everything that's going on, I feel like I'm so far gone that I can't enjoy it. But I think anybody who is willing to invest the time and effort would be well served by reading Green Lantern. And I wish I had both the time and the inclination to do so. I just have to be a sideline fan. I kind of know what's going on, but I can't invest any more than that into it. Green Lantern is a solid character. He's had a bunch of great incarnations. And I really think it's probably a really great book. From what I'm hearing, it's a really, really great book right now. So that's where I stand. And that is where I stand.
All right, so...
They're always asking.
I know. I don't ask, but that's probably because I've heard
people
it
are asking.
I, well,
that's,
look. That's why, someone's got to ask. You've got to answer. I understand.
I'm just saying.
It's a calling.
I'm just saying. I'm just responding to the people's requests.
Tim Curry is going to be involved in a Sci-Fi Channel miniseries based on Alice in Wonderland, along with Kathy Bates.
Okay. So is this the answer, I suppose, to the movie being done by Tim Burton?
I think this is kind of sci-fi's way of taking all these classic things and kind of sci-fi. Like, they did it with Oz.
Right.
The Tin Man series that came out.
That was fantastic.
With Nightcrawler as the Tin Man.
Really, really good. Yeah. Wasn't Daniel Craig in that, too? Or am I confusing him with somebody else?
I don't think so.
I Can't remember. Somebody was in it.
Alan Cummings was the big name.
No, there was another one. Publicity interviews, at least, I don't remember.
But
somebody else big in it.
Anyway, Kathy Bates is going to play the Queen of Hearts. Tim Curry is cast to play the Dodo.
The Dodo?
I don't even know who that character is.
The Dodo?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's a bunch of other... Katerina Scorsone as Alice... Colm Meaney as the King of Hearts. Philip Winchester as the Jack of Hearts.
Whoa, slow down. Colm Meaney is Chief O'Brien from Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, well, I wouldn't know that.
That's who's... Well, of course you wouldn't.
Here's a name I know, though.
Okay.
Matt Frewer as the White Knight.
Matt Frewer from Watchmen.
Matt Frewer from Watchmen. Matt Frewer from Eureka. Matt Frewer from...
Max Headroom.
Max Headroom. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll check it out. I like Tin Man, so if it has the potential, I guess, to be good.
Sure.
Probably one of the bigger things going around this week is Futurama. News-wise, Futurama is all over the place this week.
Why?
Because it's coming back.
Like, for real coming back?
Like, for real coming back. Like, Comedy Central has... just signed a deal for 26 brand new episodes of the TV show.
Now, these are not these film bullshit things?
No, these actually take place directly after the last film. They are in continuity with the film.
Okay.
With the fourth movie. There were four.
I don't think all four have come out yet, though.
I thought it did. I think the fourth one is the most recent one. Let's
actually, if we can check with Triple B. Oh. Never mind.
Yeah.
We'll have an update on that next week, I guess.
Some almost dead singer singing somewhere.
I don't think that's tonight. I think it was a personal errand tonight.
Oh, well, fine. Personal errands.
Just saying.
You know, Big Rat doesn't take personal errands.
Saw Big Rat.
I know. I want him back. We've had requests.
You need to send your requests to productiontim@... BigKevsGeekStuff.com. An email that does not exist, folks.
Not at all.
However, you could call our hotline.
425-920-6050.
You can call that hotline and tell us anything you'd like us to discuss, or if you have a comment on something we have already discussed. And... you want to bring it back up or bring to light some new thing? Hey, do it. You might hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So starting in 2010, they will be airing 2 13-episode seasons.
Okay.
With the potential to go forward from there.
Good.
So 26 new episodes of a show, 7 years dead.
Hey, bravo. And it's a great show. You know, I just picked up. Personally,
I think it's better than The Simpsons. Some people would crucify me for that, but I really think that it's a much more solid show than The Simpsons.
Well, it's a different show than The Simpsons.
I know, but a lot of people make the comparison.
Of course. It
comes from the same creative bed, so.
You know, I just got the last 2 season box sets on sale at Best Buy list.
Nice.
So I'm all caught up. I thought I had all the movies, but now I'm wondering. I'll have to check with Triple Absent when he's
right.
When I talk to him later this week or next week.
You like the Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Who doesn't like Hanna-Barbera cartoons?
Did you like the Jetsons?
Of course.
Robert Rodriguez is doing a live-action Jetsons movie.
Really?
That's set to go into production in 2010. I guess he's free now that Barbarella is dead.
Yes. And apparently his relationship with... what's her name? Is dead also.
She's not. You mean Rose McGowan? Is he going to play
Judy Jetson? Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. I was like, is that why he's doing it? Because she wants to play Judy Jetson?
He has been developing this for years. This has been like a Robert Rodriguez rumor for like 2 or 3 years now.
Ain't going to happen.
And he says now that he's far along in it. He's got almost got a full script. And like I said, he obviously has some free time on his hands. So
I don't believe it.
No.
Nope.
Not at all?
No. Not really a big fan of Robert Rodriguez these days. I didn't like that maneuver at all. I didn't like the maneuver with the Rose McGowan and...
You're a family guy?
Leave his wife and all them kids. I just didn't think that was a classy move.
It wasn't a classy move, that's for sure.
And then he's got to go back because he,
but he did
a
good job on Grindhouse.
Kids and blah, blah, blah. What?
He did a good job on Grindhouse.
It was all right.
Like Brutal Planet.
No.
Or Planet Terror, I'm sorry.
Planet Terror was good, but clearly the other one was the better flick. Yeah, I thought.
I think that's debatable.
Well, it is debatable.
Spider-Man 4.
Doo-doo-doo.
Kirsten Dunst is in. The rumors surrounding Mobius being the villain is out.
Oh, no Mobius?
No Mobius.
Good.
And the new possible villain is Kingpin. That's the rumor.
Are they going to get...
Well, that's the natural follow-up. Are they going to use Michael Clark Duncan to play the Kingpin? I'd love to see any sort of acknowledgement of Daredevil in a Marvel film.
Any continuity
outside
at all.
Of Elektra. I'd love to see any... Because I like that movie. You like that movie. This is one of those movies where we both happen to agree.
Right.
That it was well done. It was entertaining. I thought it was pretty true to the characters. And
people just bitch slapped it for no reason.
No good reason.
So, I hated it. It's probably the best presented Marvel villain on film is Bullseye. Gotta be. I mean, who is in competition with? Venom? No.
No, not at all.
Sandman? No. Doc Ock? Maybe.
Doc Ock is a good go. Magneto's a good
Green
go.
Green Goblin? No. Hobgoblin or whatever the fuck.
Are we just sticking with Spider-Man?
I'm just working my way through.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say Magneto was good.
Magneto was very good.
He was a good representation.
Except for the fact that they kind of downplayed him a little bit, I thought. As the series went on, a little
X-Men 1, Magneto, I thought was very good.
Okay, but I'll say this, though. Magneto, definitely in that class, better than Bullseye? I don't know. Who else? Doom, despite the fact that he was not the Doom from comic books, he was well represented. I would put him at a peg below Magneto.
Okay.
Who I think is maybe even a peg below Doc Ock. I still think Doc Ock is probably the best one so far there.
Right.
And then I don't know who. I can't think of anybody else. Am I missing someone?
Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, X-Men.
Nope.
Oh, Hulk. No, the first about not Absorbing Man was terrible.
No.
And Abomination was. Emil Blonsky was okay. Abomination was...
He was all right. I would say probably better than Venom.
Oh, yeah. Definitely better than
better
Venom.
Anybody's better than the Green Goblin. I'd say better than the Green the Power Ranger Green Goblin.
Foe was good as Osborn.
He was. It's just what it suffered from was the suit.
Right.
So anyway, I think Bullseye was a brilliantly played, brilliantly realized character and was fantastic in that movie, and I just don't get all the crap that people give that movie.
Well, the other rumors in the Spider-Man 4 rumor mill are Kraven, which I think would be a good choice.
Bah.
Lizard, which is the natural choice.
Lizard would be good.
And I've also heard I've heard Rhino thrown around a little bit, which would just be a disaster on film. So, unless you went with Ultimate Rhino and gave him some sort of mechanical suit, but even that, I really didn't like that character design. I thought it was kind of gay.
Well, I guess we'll see. But what would what would Kingpin bring to the table?
I don't know.
Crime?
Yeah, but that might be an okay angle to go, though.
Right.
That might be an okay angle to go with Spider-Man.
Maybe.
I'm just thinking. Masai Oka.
Uh-huh.
Hero on Heroes.
Yes.
He's been writing this movie that's just been picked up by DreamWorks. The name of the movie is The Defenders. Normally, I would completely and totally skip over this, except listen to the plot, and then you can comment. The story centers on a group of mostly teenagers from around the world who are involved in an MMORPG, each unaware of who they really are behind the cover of their consoles and avatars. They're forced to come together for a real adventure, becoming inadvertent heroes in the process. Doesn't it kind of sound like a big screen version of The Guild on Crack?
Yeah. I mean, well, of course, anything having to do with a massive multi-online player game is going to be compared to The Guild. anything where they, you know, the players are playing together, then they're going to meet in real life, is going to be compared to the Guild. It's natural that it's going to happen. It seems like, though, that this probably has a more more of an edge, more of an action edge.
Yeah, it's not going to be comedy driven, obviously. But
oh, I don't know about that.
But that's the first thing I thought was. Ugh.
So who did anyone write to Felicia Day?
I haven't seen anything on it yet, and I haven't seen it. You know, I follow her on Twitter and stuff. I haven't seen her post anything about it. Maybe I missed it, but I'm just saying.
Just building up questions to ask her in San Diego.
That's it. Shia LaBeouf does not want to play Yorick in the movie adaptation of Why the Last Man.
Really?
Nope. His quote is, and after reading this quote, I'm happy he doesn't want to play Yorick. You take Sam and you put a monkey on his shoulder. By Sam, he means Sam Witwicky, the character he plays in Transformers. You take Sam, you put a monkey on his shoulder. I don't know if that's a big difference. It seems like he's just an ordinary guy in an extraordinary situation again. I'm not willing to make that movie currently.
That's a negotiating answer.
Yeah, that is a negotiating answer. But if that's his interpretation of the character of Yorick, if he's comparing him to Sam Witwicky in Transformers, I don't want him to play that character.
I'm telling you, that's a negotiating tool right there.
We'll see.
You'll see.
Well,
they want them, they'll get them.
I hope enough people complain about it and they don't get them. I hope it shoots them in the foot. So in a recent interview with Winona Ryder, she's talked about a Heathers sequel.
Yes, I heard something about this.
Apparently, the original writer and director of the film have something that they've been kind of working on, but they don't want to talk about it. So Winona Ryder has taken it upon herself to mention it. And she goes so far as to mention that Christian Slater has agreed to come back as a kind of Obi-Wan type character.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I think I had read something about that. That part of it anyway.
I like the Heathers. Does it need a sequel, though?
No. Well, does any movie need a sequel?
No, it doesn't.
Matrix didn't need a sequel, and it got two. Just saying. Ew. That would be funny. It's kind of a throwback. I mean, that's really an 80s flick.
Yeah, that's
like, just saying.
All right, we got to talk about it. It's the laughingstock of the internet.
Yep.
The wrap-up to the week.
Yep.
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Blow.
All right, now let's start by saying that none of this has been confirmed.
Right.
This is all still rumor and speculation at this point in time. Apparently, the director of the film, Steven Summers, has been fired from the movie.
Fired.
After the movie was screened and got the worst audience rating ever in the history of a Paramount film.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So,
sounded like somebody should have listened to Big Kev, doesn't it?
As a response, Paramount has bringed in, has bringed.
Has bringed them
wow.
in.
Wow. Has brought in, brought a word? I think so.
Yes.
Stuart Bard, who is he's a fixer editor. He's one of those guys that comes in and tries to wave his magic wand over a shitstorm and make it a less of a shitstorm.
Right. More like shit drizzle.
Right. Exactly. So they brought him in to hopefully fix some issues with the movie. In addition, apparently, CEO of Hasbro, Brian Goldner, has kind of stepped away from all of these rumors, has stepped away from all of this talk, because really, this could destroy the G.I. Joe franchise
for
Hasbro.
Yep.
What could potentially happen is Hasbro will pull all G.I. Joe merchandise for the next year.
At the least,
a year and a half. So that they can rework, retool, resculpt, reimagine all of their products
and
go forward.
It's not that. It's already, the movie stuff's already in production. So the movie stuff's going to come out.
But they're going to take a
They are going to take a bath in it. That's true. But that said, that's not, the problem is not the movie stuff, because plenty of, X-Men movie stuff didn't do so great.
Oh, absolutely.
But there were other X-Men products that did swell. Spider-Man stuff did really great, but then some of it didn't do so well.
The problem is, Go ahead.
The problem is that their intention that I learned at Toy Fair, we learned at Toy Fair, was that they are rebranding the entire G.I. Joe line after this movie.
Right.
So everything from here forward is going to be based on the mythology of the film. At least that's what the impression we were given was. So the stuff based on the comics and the stuff based on the comic book and so on and so forth, that stuff is kind of going away in favor of the movie mythology, if you will, and how they can best advance that. So let me give you an example. What they will start to do is they will reimagine some of your favorite characters as if they appeared in the movie.
Right.
So if you have a character that you like, let's say
Snake Eyes.
He's already done. Let's say Flash.
Okay. Oh, right.
That laser guy with the red padded the first G.I. Joe I ever bought. That's why I remember. That guy, let's say now you have that guy who and everyone knows what he looks like and everything else. Well, now he'll be reimagined as if he was a character in one of the movies.
Right.
And then that will be that figure. And at least the intention was to brand everything like that moving forward and rebuild the franchise off of this movie. The problem with that, of course, is if this movie is the biggest bomb that they're saying it's going to be.
Yeah, no good. No bueno.
No, not good at all.
So, yeah.
Well, that's very frightening and very upsetting. But we should say, we have been saying on this show since the very first rumor that this was going to happen, that this was not a good idea for film, number one. Number two, once we actually saw some film, the first trailer and stuff that we saw at Toy Fair, our second response was, doesn't look that good. You know, whatever the hyper movement suits or whatever, all of that terrible, terrible stuff that we saw and that we talked about in the past is now coming back to roost, as the great Malcolm X would say.
I want to blame Toy Biz.
Why Toy Biz?
Because Toy Biz became part of Hasbro, sort of, and now they're like a plague. Destroying all their lines.
They're just they acquire the Marvel license and it's
just spreading like wildfire. You know, it's true.
Hasbro's got some bad luck.
It's only two lines left.
Star Wars.
And Transformers. Transformers is a little
shaky. Star Wars is not going anywhere.
Well, yeah, probably not.
The flagship will never not be sailing on the oceans of the economy.
You know what's going to happen, right? Hasbro is going to become Lucas Toys.
No, I don't think that's going to happen either.
Lucas will just...
I know that you didn't go to Toy Fair this year, so I know that you may not know this, but Hasbro, they actually put out some shit that we don't talk about.
A lot of shit we don't talk about. Well, there's all that girl stuff we don't talk about. But there's like anime lines.
Yeah, they have a lot of products.
There's board games.
I'm just saying.
They've got some really good products. Yeah, they have a lot of stuff. That we just don't talk about on their show.
I'm just saying, when we were at Toy Fair this year, I came out of Toy Fair thinking, Hasbro's presentation at Toy Fair, I should say, I came out thinking two things. That I thought that the Cobra guys from G.I. Joe the movie, the like troop designs, were very cool.
The figures.
Three things then. Because the second thing I thought was that I was not as fucked this year on Star Wars as I had been in previous years. And number three was that it looked very, very scary for almost all the lines. I didn't see any scariness in Star Wars, except that there was that they were gapping production in order to do more production for Transformers and G.I. Joe because they had movies this year. Scary. Why don't we take our first break here, and then we'll be right back with more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 151, Black Ninjas Did It.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear.
Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Day from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Hello, Mr. Big Kev Stuff and Mr. OG. This is your pal, E-Rock. What the hell's going on with Stargate World, and when the hell is this shit supposed to come out? Please let me know. Thank you.
Well, Mr. E-Rock, I have a great answer for you. You're going to be very excited about this answer as we rejoin Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 151.
Black Ninjas Did It.
Yes, sir. I have a very exciting answer, and I'm going to leave it to OG to tell you. I'd prepare and brace yourself because this may knock your socks off.
Stargate Worlds is being developed by a publishing company, a software company called Cheyenne Mountain Entertainment and FireSky, two companies. And they are in financial troubles right now.
Done.
The gentleman who was heading up the Stargate Worlds project and one of the big muckety mucks over there at Cheyenne Mountain Entertainment has left.
Gone.
The company. So, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Stargate Worlds is probably never going to see the light of day.
You'll get Stargate Worlds when we have a live XM show on Saturday night.
Oh, wow. That's a rough one.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, E-Crack.
I don't think that game is ever, ever, ever coming out.
That guy is addicted to that fucking Stargate programming.
I know. I want to watch it though.
Good for him. Because I think if I had actually sat down, I probably would have watched some of it.
Yeah, I think I might. I think I might get into it.
What's her name? Kaylee in one of those?
She is in Stargate Atlantis,
which is
Jewel State.
Done, right?
It is done.
Did that figure come out?
I don't know.
Gotta get
but
her.
If it does,
Jewel State, of course, playing Kaylee, the engineer, on the canceled Joss Whedon show,
Firefly.
Take my love. Take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Exactly, so there's your answer, Mr. E-Rock.
Right.
And we hope that made your day. I don't think it did, though.
Poor,
E-Rock. If you'd like to give us a call over at the hotline,
425-920-6050.
With your questions, concerns, or comments, we will address them. You will. You may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's how the hotline works. Let's talk about a veritable cornucopia of product-y type things that have come out this week. Do you have any particular place that you'd like to start?
Yeah, let's start with DVDs.
All right, DVDs. Very simple. We can chew through this one really quick.
Nice.
The Clint Eastwood film Gran Torino came out. It's almost Clint Eastwood doing a Death Wish movie.
Right.
You know, he's not happy. There's some criminal element in his neighborhood, and he's the angry white guy with the shotgun.
I was going to say, I hear he peppers the film with some salty language.
Yes. And he produced and directed the salty language as well. So check that out, Gran Torino. Always good to see a Clint Eastwood flip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell of a filmmaker. And this monster, going to run you about $50. It's the 40th anniversary Ultimate Collector's Edition of Woodstock.
Yes.
This would be the 4-hour director's cut.
Peace, love, and hippiness.
Yes. Includes a Lucite display with images from the festival, 60-page commemorative Life magazine reprint, iron-on Woodstock patch.
Ooh-wee.
Yes. Woodstock fact sheet, reproductions of festival memorabilia, including handwritten notes and a 3-day ticket.
Wowza.
Yeah. That's quite a thing. It's got 3 hours of new bonus content, new retrospectives, untold stories, all sorts of crazy stuff. The greatest rock acts of the 60s, maybe of all time, most of them, a lot of them, were at Woodstock and did some amazing performances. I only want to mention two.
Of course.
And one, of course, is The Who.
Of course.
The Who, one of their best performances ever at Woodstock. And I also want to mention another one.
Really?
Sha-na-na.
I was going to say, you listen. Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na.
How did they end up there?
You know what? I have to think that you know, these are teenage kids. So they're like, what, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 in that era. So, and this is 69. So you got to figure that 50s music
is still there.
Was kind of
like
the music. 104.3.
That's kind of like classic rock.
That's kind of like disco is.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like if there was some kind of disco tribute thing happening now, it would be the equivalent, except whoever it is would probably get killed.
Right.
But the point is that I think they kind of, well, one, they were too fucking high and stoned to give a shit, and number two, I think it was just kind of appropriate. You know what I mean?
Bowser.
Yeah, Bowser. Sha-na-na. Anyway, check it out. It's what a great package, too. It comes in a box. The box sets into a little vest.
The Lucite case.
No. Inside the Lucite case.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It has a vest that's fringy.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a little fringy. But the box looks like one of those weirdo African shirt things.
Yeah.
Daishiki, I think it's called. And got the patch right on the cover. It's really a terrific product. Check it out. 40th Anniversary Ultimate Collector's Edition of Woodstock. That's DVDs. Did you ever wonder or imagine what it would have like what your experience might have been if you were at Woodstock?
Yeah, I guess it would have kind of been.
Well, actually, Matt, I hate to cut you off. It looks like that sounds like our D&D intro, and it must be time for our Dungeons & Dragons update of the week.
Fine.
We're taking an in-depth look at Wizards of the Coast's 4th edition of Dungeons & Dragons, and you can check out more about Dungeons & Dragons over at dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. This week's just a quick hit, sir. The Wizards of the Coast people have decided in their infinite wisdom to put out miniatures.
That's nothing new.
No, no, these are plastic. They're pre-made, pre-painted.
We like pre-made, pre-painted.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the greatest paint job in the world.
For the unskilled.
Yes. But they do add a little color. And the pack we're talking about this week, racist.
What? I was just thinking that Clint Eastwood would disapprove of those.
The pack we're talking about this week is Martial Heroes #1, The Player's Handbook. Now, What this is it's a pack of three miniatures. Now, I don't think they're very expensive, but I don't have a price point on them off the top of my head. I don't remember what the suggested retail price is. But you get some good stuff. You get three great miniatures. They're based. They're pre-painted. They're very generic. So you may not get exactly your character, but you get somebody you can use. Three great miniatures. You also get three of the... Now, you remember we talked about the cards, the power cards.
Uh-huh.
Well, you actually get three unique power cards featuring brand new class powers. So in this case, in Martial Heroes pack number one, you get a rogue figure, a fighter figure, and a ranger figure. And in there, you also get three cards with new skills for those characters. So the rogue gets...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. The rogue gets probing strike. The fighter gets daring shout. And the ranger gets hunter's teamwork. And these are individual cards, individual powers that you're going to find only in the miniatures pack here. So that's very exciting also. That kind of adds to the overall value of the pack. So, yeah, there it is. D&D. Wizards of the Coast has a bunch of these that they've put out for characters from Player's Handbook number one. And, you know, I think as we get more of these in, we'll discuss more about how you can use these figures. Actually, that's coming next week.
Good news for collectors and completists. These are not blind boxed.
They're not blind boxed. No, so you can actually see them. You can get, you know, at least one for each class and so on and so forth. The importance of miniatures to the new D&D?
Yes.
Our topic in episode 152.
Wow, a
there
teaser?
You go. That's it. It's a teaser. So, once again, it's the Player's Handbook Heroes 3-pack of miniatures, Martial Heroes pack number one, for use with the D&D. You can check out this and other fine Wizards of the Coast D&D products at dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, or wizards.com/DND. Letter D, letter N, letter D.
Nice.
I like the other one better.
So do I.
And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
You got a book over there. What do you got?
I have a DK publishing book.
Oh, like DK. Yes.
And this is the Doctor Who Visual Dictionary, the updated and expanded version.
Yes. Now, DK, of course, as we've said before many, many times in the past, we love the DK product. These are large coffee table books. They usually contain a lot of visual elements, like the visual dictionary that we're looking at here for Doctor Who. It's a big, oversized book, lots of great color photographs, lots of information for fans. It's truly, truly a wonderful, wonderful book. And what do you got there?
Well, you know, DK gives the extra special treatment. I mean, not only is it great photos and information, but it's really detailed on different characters, gear, you know, just
like
everything.
Robots, villains, everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's the whole McGillicuddy,
right?
You say this came out just May of this year, so it's brandy spanking new. Like I said, it was updated and expanded.
Right.
You can get it for $24.99.
Nice.
It's a great price, and it's an absolute must have, I think, for any Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, any of these DK books where they have picked a specific topic, and if you like that specific topic, you're going to like the DK book that accompanies it. You know, we've talked about all the great Star Wars visual companions, those cross-section books.
Absolutely.
Which are phenomenal. The blueprints that we had discussed.
They do Marvel encyclopedias. They do other movie lines.
Yeah, recently they did the DC Vertigo one, which we talked about on this show.
Yep.
Very fantastic. DK is a great, great company. You should definitely... be checking out their products, and we're going to talk more about their products as they come out. They have great, exciting stuff for the fall. You know what we're going to tell you about that?
Wow.
Episode 152.
Wow. Is that two teases in a row?
I'm just saying, episode 152.
I'm guessing we forget before next week.
And speaking of books, a couple of comic books for you to check out this week. Yep. It's Red Robin number one.
I love their hamburgers.
No.
Whiskey River Burger?
No. No, sir. Things? No, sir. Red Robin is a DC character. I'm not telling you anything about it because I really think you should check this one out.
Some pink, no pink.
Part of the Batman Reborn thing that's now happening through all the books. Red Robin number one. Check it out. I'm not saying anything else about it.
All right.
Except Red Robin, as you know, is Dick Grayson's character in Kingdom Come. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
This, not Dick Grayson.
All right.
If you believe in monsters, then you need Proof from Image Comics. Okay. Proof number 21 is a great book, sir. I don't understand why you're not reading it.
Because it hasn't been collected yet.
It's got a I believe it has.
Oh.
It's got a paranormal edge. Paranormals, investigating paranormals is always some funny stuff.
It hasn't been scanned and put on the internet yet.
Yes, that's, I'm not sure about that either. Marvel's continuing to celebrate their 70 years, another Timely Comics Incorporated release. It's Miss America, number one. Yes, this is the character from the 30s and 40s, kind of a female Captain America type.
And does she come out against gay marriage?
I have no idea. Oh, she was not that Miss America. Dude, please. Batman 687, it's Batman Reborn. What? It's very exciting, sir. He's reborn. He's back.
No, he's dead. He's not dead. He's got a broken back. He doesn't have a broken back.
It's not
he's
Bruce Wayne.
He's an old guy. He's a young guy.
Not Bruce Wayne. Just saying, sir. I think you'll appreciate, I think, the way the story is going to go. Okay. Until they bring Bruce Wayne back.
Of course.
Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers number 2 from Marvel.
How's that Frog of Thunder working out for you?
You know what? Did you read the first one?
I didn't.
It was really funny.
Can I ask who is it?
Nope. Not telling.
Oh, come on.
Not telling. Check it out. Issue 2 is out now. You may still be able to get issue 1. Speaking of issue 1, Buck Rogers, issue 1.
Wowie kazowie.
Yes, sir. From Dynamite Entertainment. I bought the Alex Ross cover.
Of course you
there's
did.
There's also a Matt Wagner cover. And there's also what's his name cover? Does all that stuff for them. Cassidy, John Cassidy. Cover as well. Notice the gun?
I don't notice the gun.
Just like the gun.
Oh, just like the gun that Go Hero is putting out for their Buck Rogers figure.
Yeah, where is the Go Hero Buck Rogers figure?
I don't know.
I'm getting that dude on the phone. From Moonstone, Phantom, Ghost Who Walks number 3, a terrific comic book. Such a throwback to the days gone by, if you will, that I can't get enough of it. Between this and the Phantom Generations book. Terrific, terrific stuff. You should be checking out. And finally, not so much a comic book per se, but an illustrated children's book, which of course is always a treat when it's written by Neil Gaiman.
Ooh, what is that?
And illustrated by Dave McKean. It's called Crazy Hair.
Okay.
It is a, just have a look here. Huge, large visuals, with some accompanying words. It's a very, very visual, offbeat children's book. It couldn't be anything but offbeat if Neil Gaiman wrote it, and the imagery couldn't be anything but disturbing's not the right word. It's kind of different, normal. It's very.
That's kind of McKean. That's kind of his style.
Well, that's the point that I'm getting at. But see, look at that. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Brilliant.
Beautiful, beautiful artwork. A really funny little kiddie story there to go along with it. And
when's the movie coming?
I don't know. It is from. It is, as they say, right on the cover of the book, from the award-winning creators of The Wolves in the Walls, which was fantastic.
They went with The Wolves in the Walls and not Coraline?
Yeah, which I was surprised by, too, except Dave McKean
didn't do Coraline, that's why.
So that's why. If they had said award-winning creator
right,
and meant only Neil,
excellent,
that would have been that. So there it is. And finally tonight, from DC Direct, I had to mention this. I thought about putting it off for a week, but I had to mention it. It is the Justice Society of America Series 1 action figures. These are all based on the painted covers of JSA, the covers that were done by Alex Ross. Now, he's been doing covers for JSA for a couple of years now.
Okay.
Like, monthly. Like, really, for a while. I think he just recently stopped, and I'm not sure exactly why he stopped. 6-inch figures. Yep, somebody's still making 6-inch figures. And if they made them like this, everybody would still be making 6-inch figures. 4 characters for you to choose from. Of course, you'll want them all. It's the Golden Age Flash, which is Jay Garrick. That's the one with the hat with the wings.
Right.
The World War One helmet-looking hat with the wings.
Yeah, that's he was in Jay that first Garrick. Appearances line.
Yes, but this is him as he appears now.
Oh, okay, okay.
In the JSA book, oh, because right,
they're all back, aren't
they're
they?
They're like older, and right, right. It's kind of a little... the Golden Age Green Lantern, Alan Scott, who is, again, they're kind of recruiting the next generation, if you will, and training them sort of. It's so, you know, to explain the JSA book as it has happened in the last 2 years is a little difficult. So without getting into much detail, we're going to say it's a good book.
Right.
Really good book. Number one. Number two, the figures are excellent. The other two, of course, are Sandman.
Right.
Right, which is we're going to clear up the whole Sandman thing.
Right.
Actually, let's do it right now. This Sandman, this is Sanderson Hawkins.
Right.
Okay? He was the sidekick to the original Sandman.
Wesley Dodds.
Wesley Dodds.
Okay.
Right. And now, Wesley is dead.
Okay.
And Sanderson has taken over somehow the power that Wesley had, which was sort of these prophetic dream things, you know, thus the whole Sandman thing kind of passed on. He was able to pass it on to this guy who now, has some equipment that is the same gas masks and gun and the wire poon.
Which is just an awful, dirty-sounding thing.
Yep.
Sounds like they don't shave.
And he's able to use his geokinesis, which allows him to alter his shape and his density, you know, to help fight crime. This is not to be confused with the Sandman from Vertigo, the Neil Gaiman character, who
right.
is
different.
Kind of a gothy-looking guy with black hair, death is his sister.
Although Neil Gaiman did do a one-shot, apparently, with that character.
Yes, with the original, with this, you mean with Wesley Dodds?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, he did. In fact, the Wesley Dodds character did have a Vertigo series called Sandman Mystery Theater.
Right.
Which was fantastic. But this is the next generation of that character. He's absolutely terrific. He's spooky looking. He
is creepy as hell.
Yeah, he's really good. This is one of the best figures they've ever done. And finally, rounding out the four in series one is Starman.
Hey, I know a fan that's going to be happy.
Yeah, now, well, again, this is not the Starman.
I know.
That you're thinking of. This would be a different Starman who was originally known as Star Boy from the Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
Right? He wears a Starfield suit. So basically he just has like black, he has white gloves and boots and a black star looks like a jumpsuit, covers him from head to toe.
Right.
What it actually is it's a map of the multiverse created by the combined Brainiac 5 of three worlds meant to be used to save the space-time continuum.
Okay.
Yeah. Strange. Let's talk about the figure. They've done something here which I haven't seen before, and it's they have somehow managed to layer... The black and starry part of the suit has been somehow multi-layered that gives it this incredibly varied depth look. Here, you look at it and see what I'm talking about. You see that? You see how it kind of looks like there's an underlayer, and there's some stuff.
The stars are kind of 3D-ish.
Yeah, it almost seems like whatever the effect they've done, and brilliant, bravo to DC Direct, they've made it seem like there are some varying levels of depth, which really makes this figure really spectacular, I think.
I do have an issue with the extra head, though.
Okay. Well, he does come with a head that's not in the mask.
It would look kind of silly. Is it a mask? It's the bodysuit, you said?
The suit, yeah, that part is the mask that goes over his face.
For some reason, I didn't think it was a bodysuit. I thought it was, I thought it was like a transformation thing.
No,
I think he would have looked silly with that head on that body.
Well, I think maybe he just, you know, occasionally wants to just reveal that head.
Wants to have a smoke or
maybe
drink a Pepsi.
That's it. Sure, why not? Why Pepsi?
Coke.
Well, there it is. From DC Direct, it's Justice Society of America, Series 1, four figures based on the artwork of Alex Ross. They have come packaged in that square box packaging that's so difficult to decide whether to open or not open.
Poser.
I'm not a poser. How dare you? You can check it out at DCDirectOnline.com.
Okay.
More figures there. And with that, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 151, Black Ninjas Did It.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 151, Black Ninjas Did It. What the hell did we talk about tonight, Kev?
Are you asking yourself? Because
yes, we talked about Mickey Rourke in that ridiculous picture as Whiplash. We talked about Heavy Metal 3. We talked about the rise and fall of Hasbro, or the rise and fall of Cobra, or the destruction of the G.I. Joe movie.
Yes.
You can call it whatever you want, really.
Uh-huh.
And a Heathers sequel. We talked about the Defenders. I'm calling it the Guild on Crack. Shia LaBeouf doesn't want to play Yorick in Why the Last Man. Robert Rodriguez does want to do a Jetsons movie. Kirsten Dunst does want to hurt our emotions by coming back as Mary Jane. And Futurama is coming back with 26 new episodes for the telly.
And Michael Clark Duncan as the Kingpin.
We hope. In segment two tonight.
Yes, we talked about a variety of things, including DVDs, the 40th anniversary Ultimate Collector's Edition of Woodstock and Gran Torino. We also talked about, in our D&D update, the Player's Handbook Heroes 3-pack of figures, Martial Heroes Pack 1, in comics tonight. We talked about The Phantom, The Ghost Who Walks, number 3, Buck Rogers number 1, Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers number 2, Batman 687, Miss America comics number 1, Proof number 20, Red Robin number 1. Whew. And
we talked about a book from DK Publishing.
Yes, it is the Doctor Who, the Visual Dictionary. Lots of pictures, great coffee table book, excellent for any
getting
fan.
Getting the DK Publishing treatment.
Yes.
Which means stellar.
True. Absolutely. We also talked about the brand new book from Neil Gaiman and Dave McKean called Crazy Hair. It's kind of a twisted kid's story, if you will. And finally tonight from DC Direct, you can check out DC Direct online for more information. It's the Justice Society of America Series 1. 4 action figures, the Golden Age Flash, Golden Age Green Lantern, Sandman, and Starman. Based on the artwork of Alex Ross, wonderful packaging. It's the whole Megillah.
I think that's it.
That is it.
We can breathe. I can go drink.
Yes.
We need a drink. And I think that's it. We'll be back next week. We have some exciting stuff that we teased. But don't forget, before next week, you can check out each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff over at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com.
Get involved.
We have a plethora of things to offer you. Each and every episode, photo galleries, video segments, the t-shirt, still on sale.
Uh-huh.
If you'd like to participate in the show, or maybe you have a comment or opinion on the show that you'd like to share with us, you can give us a call at 425-920-6050. And I think that's it.
That is. And in our tribute to David Carradine, who, by the way, I just, I've always had a thing against David Carradine because, you know, Kung Fu was created for Bruce Lee. And because he was Asian.
And he fucked it up.
They wouldn't put him on, so they hired Carradine. Just ridiculous. But it's time to put that away because.
It is.
He's dead. And Black Ninjas did it. And so as our thoughts and prayers go out to David Carradine and his family, we play this in loving tribute.
And on that note, we cue the music.